No, I was telling you.
Oh, she's talking about a dream.
Council Administrative Finance Committee meeting of November 13th, 2012. We have a quorum in the room. Before we take a motion of minutes, I want to recognize those who have joined us in the room. And I have a kind of person I want everybody to get familiar with. Today, taking the notes is my new legislative aide, Brian Hollider. And welcome addition to my staff, the only staff person I have. And he's done a good job, jumped right on board and working well. So we have in the room Councilman Hollins, Councilman Weiner, Councilmember Diller, Councilman Sheldon, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Smiley, and I am Councilman John Cartier chairing the meeting. Yes, I did. Councilman Sheldon, I said. Okay, do I have a motion on the minutes of the previous meeting?
Motion to approve is distributed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, we have a rather long agenda today. We have nothing on the consent calendar. Moving on to other resolutions. Resolution 12-161, under amend the capital budget, appropriate $183,440 of state funding for Brandywine 100 South Rehabilitation Phase 1 project. Okay, we have a lifeline for the administration to talk about this. Yes, sir.
Okay, John Husband, Special Services. This is $183,000 from three legislators in the General Assembly. Senator Cloutier, Representative Dennis Williams, and Representative Heffernan. They all donated in their particular areas, be it Tarleton or Surrey Park, a portion of their, what used to be called Suburban Street Funds, I think it's Community Funds now, to that project. So they were gracious enough to add $183,000 to make the construction work that we did, repaving the roads the entire length, which is what the residents had asked for.
So these funds are applied through us to repaving after we redid the sewer in those communities?
Correct. It's additional paving that the residents asked for. And what this did was supply that. We paid for it first, did the contract work, and then we're getting reimbursed then by the state.
I'd like to recognize Councilman Street has joined us and Councilman Retta. Councilman Weiner.
Yes, just like to embellish a little bit on what was said. The streets portion between the main roads and the construction zone in World War III, zone called Surrey Park and Tarleton, were pretty damaged. And the state legislators came through with the extra funds to which our mutually shared constituents are very pleased and happy. This was probably the most challenging project that our Special Services Department has had, both with subcontractors, with the district councilman, who was stressed out by this for the last 2+ years, and by the constituents, all of whom were very engaged. A lot of them are retired DuPont engineers with lots of time on their hands, who are fully engaged in this project. My thanks to all, and I look forward to supporting Resolution 12-161 and its companion.
I guess one final question I have. This amount of sewer rehabbing went on in Surrey Park and in Tarleton, correct?
Correct.
We replaced all of the sewer in those communities? Is that what essentially?
This was just the trunk line that fed everything north of Silverside Road. The residents, what made this project so difficult is the residents in Surrey Park did not benefit from this project. The trunk line went through the development.
Oh.
So they saw everything was fine within their development.
Okay. Well, we're happy our state legislators stepped up to help us smooth the way with this, literally, in the road system, in the network, and the developments. I'd like to recognize that Councilman Bell has joined us. Okay, Resolution 12-162, approving a refund of taxes paid in error. Councilman Smiley.
This is a normal course of business where we have people, unlike myself, who overpay their bills instead of underpay. Following individuals and institutions submitted to County Council, it's basically a refund for Andrew F. and Amy E. Sullivan, Lee W. and Jackman Hagenbach, and CoreLogic. The refund set forth a total of $18,988.98, paid in error.
And just for the record, it's very typical that, you know, we process virtually every meeting. We have some small amount of refund of taxes paid in error, and requires above a certain level of refund that council's approval of that. Okay. Ordinance number 12-106, Councilman Smiley.
Okay, and this is substitute 112-106. And what this ordinance does, it provides some additional council oversight contracts. What it does, it adds that any change orders or amendments to contracts previously requiring council approval, where the amount of any single amendment or change order to the aggregate of multiple amendments or change orders exceeds 25% of the original contract amount or $10,000, whichever is greater, then we get another look at that. Also, all contracts executed on behalf of the county that contain a provision that, in the event of a default by the other party to the contract, would require the county to assume the responsibility for financial obligations for which it would not otherwise be responsible. Everybody on council was surprised when we ended up being the default owner of the waste treatment plant down in Middletown. And I know there was a lot of back and forth over the months. I'm not an attorney, but that contract was very clear to me when I looked at it. The language was right in there. They failed, we had to operate. We approved money, we approved programs, we approved work. There is going to be a contract, and I'm not saying we're not going to buy into things that will help the citizens of Newcastle County. But I believe that if we're going to be party to a contract that says we may end up being a responsible party to own and operate something, that this council should have a buy-in to it. And the other, that no contract on behalf of the county shall contain an evergreen provision whereby such contract would essentially renew itself without a specific ending date. It doesn't say it can't be a two-year contract with an option for 1 year, but nothing that perpetually renews. I think we can all agree, while overwhelmingly this council was in support of the Powell Center, that's part of the reason that they ended up in the situation that they ended up in and this county did, because it was perpetually renewing. There was no fresh looks being taken at it, you know, taking a look at the contracts, no discussions going on. This will prevent that as well. Again, for me, it's just another piece of responsible county government for this council to do what we're charged with, and that's oversight of the county operations. That's it. Oh, I do want to say, for this and the next one, substitute one is ordinance 207, there have been some concerns from different departments. I'm going to go on the record right now, and I will before the council as well, ask the departments to respond back to this council in 6 months with a report as to the workability of this, if it's creating adverse problems in the department, if it's creating issues, concerns, then I'm perfectly willing to take another look at it, or for that matter, any council member can. But I'm asking that in 6 months we get a report back on both of these. That's because the goal is not to hinder county government, but to broaden council's oversight and get everyone in comfort zone as we go forward. That's it, sir.
Anybody have any questions, comments about this ordinance? I'd just like to ask our finance department, Ed, this change goes from we currently have review of contracts $25,000 and above.
And for the finance office, it's
$50,000 and above.
Before capital, it's not the penalties.
And this takes on
down to 25.
That's 25. The next one.
The next one.
Speaking of ordinance 12-106, and feel free, Councilman Smiley, if give comments.
No, that's the next one that does that.
Can I get a question,
Councilman Shelton?
So this would be. On this one, we're at 12-106. I want to make sure that's clear, because, and I think you're attributing to the special services one when you said down Middletown. It wasn't really Middletown, but it was below the canal.
And I wasn't targeting special services. I was just targeting that contract.
Well, that was a...
I understand that, but that's where it happened. Now...
So that would, in other words, Mr. Smiley, Councilman Smiley, that would eliminate us being hooked into that contract, that we're the default person on that?
Well, we're there now. We can't retroactively
do that. Well, I know that. No,
yes.
I'm saying,
yes.
Say there's another one that's down there, which I don't think there is. But you just take the worst case scenario.
If something is already out there, and again, I'm not an attorney, but if something is already out there and has been agreed to, this can't undo that.
Okay, you're talking this one forward.
But from this point forward, if it's going to be in the contract, then council will be aware of it, and council will need to buy into it. This can't undo. We can't retroactively.
Oh no, we've got.
So yeah,
there may
be one or more other surprises out there, but going forward, you know, the surprises should be non-existent as far as I'm concerned. And again, that's not to say that we're not going to feel that it's right and that we should after. We get all the necessary information, if we have a comfort level with whatever outside entity is going to perform that work. But if we're not comfortable with it, if they have a history of falling down on the jobs, why would we want to put ourselves in a position to assume their responsibility? So.
Any questions, comments from members of council? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask both finance and special services, especially special services from the standpoint that some of the references have been made to them, just how this change would better their operation or may impact their operation, so that we get a sense coming from the folks that actually do this day in and day out. And from a finance perspective,
I want to ask Andrea Smith here from purchasing, who does the day-to-day activity on purchase and the contract. So she'd probably be.
I guess I'm trying to get a sense is how does it work now? Does it work well now?
Sure.
Do you see it as problems? And are we doing something good?
I think it's going to add a lot of burden onto procurement for one thing, because our system right now goes through by commodity and it rolls up and we know when to bid things. So to keep an eye on adding aggregate onto every contract, that's all the contracts that are not bid will require some tedious calculation and hands-on work. In addition, it's going to add to the length of time as to when work can be done, because if we have to bring everything forward to council, that adds approximately at least 2 to 4 weeks, depending on when the department kicks it in for us to review. We take a look at it. We determine whether it's got to come forward to council now. So it's going to add some additional work to the procurement office, as well as we have put that in the system, as we'll probably need additional staff. So we're concerned about and that we don't miss anything.
And I guess one follow-up question would be, has, under our current system, are there problems to our finance department in managing the way it's being done now? I mean, what are the problems that this would improve?
I felt that things are working great. I mean, I think we have a good communication. We're willing to give the council report to notify us even earlier than we go out to bid for items, and we have everything. Because it runs on the bid amounts that are in the bid law, 25 or 50,000, we're all set automatically to send things to council. So it's a smoother transition for us right now.
Thank you.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, a couple of things. One, I want to note that this was a 12-month rolling period, but after discussions with Yvonne Gordon, we modified that to fiscal year to make it easier on the department. Listen, I'm not going to dispute anything that was said. All I'm going to say is responsible oversight and for this council to perform their duties may cost a little more. But we have a responsibility. I'm also going to say that leading up to the next one as well as this one, When Councilwoman Vineski first brought forward the contract review at $25,000 and we ended up at $50,000, when we first asked to be notified of the contracts that were going to be bid and to get that report, there were multiple nightmare scenarios that we were given. You just heard, it's worked out. It's worked out. It's running smoothly. So all I'm asking this council to do is continue with our responsibility to the citizens of New Castle County and this government with our oversight fiduciary responsibility. And if it's creating an undue burden in 6 months, come back, substantiate, give us the information, and I'm perfectly willing to take a look at it. As I've said time and time again, legislation is a living, breathing thing. We can change it, we can modify it, we can breathe new life into it. But I just think this is an ongoing process that this council has started some years back of expanding our oversight when we feel the time is right. And I think it's there, so. That's it, up or down.
Just a point of clarification, if I could, Councilman Smiley. So the language in this, we heard this discussed in terms of contracts of special services. This refers to all contracts.
Yes, this one does.
Okay. At what level does council have to approve a contract? Is that spoken to in this ordinance, or we already have prior legislation?
We already have prior legislation, and that will be the next one where we're looking at reducing the dollar amount.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns from members of council? Questions from the public? All right, moving on to the next ordinance, substitute number 1 to 12-107, Mr. Smiley. Councilman Smiley, excuse me.
The only thing this does, and I don't say only lightly, some years back, Councilman Vineski was here, and this council began to take the approach that we had to take a closer look and stronger oversight. The legislation she brought forward was a $25,000 threshold for council's approval. We heard all the nightmares and everything. She was willing to take that to $50,000. Even with that, there were nightmare scenarios, but we did it. And it's worked. I think it's time for us to take greater focus, greater look at what contracts we are approving, the amount that's in there. So all this does is take the current amount of 50 and reduce it to $25,000. And the reason I say that is this wasn't applicable to special services. I spoke with Mr. Merritt and Ms. Searles today, just so everything is out on the table. I met with council to council earlier about looking at the special services process. That's going to be a much bigger undertaking. So rather than delay this or make it much broader and confusing to deal with, as I told them, I'm going to work with council to council, and I invite my co-chair on finance and the two co-chairs of special services to work with us, to work through that portion of the code, see what improvements, what enhancements we can make, and improve council's oversight there as well. And we will meet with special services before moving anything forward. That will be at a later date, but this council to council has strongly advised me that that is going to be quite an intense undertaking. So, that's it.
So the substance of the ordinance proposes to remove the approval of council from the current $50,000 gross amount to $25,000.
Right.
Okay. Any questions, comments from members of council? We're lowering this threshold quite a bit, folks. Yes, Councilman Hollins.
I support this legislation for a couple of reasons. Number one, I've heard this discussion for I don't know how many years now about special services and that process. And the way it's currently drafted is certainly an impediment to equal opportunity. When Yvonne Garden was here, she spoke to that issue time and time again. The general managers going back in special services have talked time and time again about addressing this particular code. Nothing has happened. So any step toward having more oversight to make certain that all these millions of dollars that have been spent on contractors, and you look at the spend analysis, and it's 1 or 2% opportunity for minority, I think this is just a start. And whenever we can begin to go through special services and make certain they understand that they can improve that process instead of the stalemate that I've been hearing for the last I don't know how many years. So I think this is a small step in the right direction, and I support it wholeheartedly.
Okay. Councilman Spivey.
And just to be fair, I just want to say that Mr. Merritt and Ms. Searles were very open and welcoming to working with us on those changes. So we will be working on that to move that forward as well.
Councilman Sheldon.
I got a call from a constituent and I got a call from a non-constituent that asked me that, number one, was this advertised sufficiently, because they tried to find it on the website this morning. Apparently it was in the newspaper this morning, but it wasn't on the website this morning. And I guess I go to council to council. Was this inadvertently wasn't put on by some reason? I mean, not being done purposely. That's not the ingredients here. The thing was that was asked upon me was, you know, it wasn't posted because it was revised agenda, correct? Or Betsy? No? Well, talk to Betsy.
Do you want to answer? Or do you want to?
I can answer.
Okay. Please stand in this.
I went to the wrong person. That's what I read.
Terry Finnegan, Legislative Aid to Councilman Smiley. This was included on the original agenda. The revised agenda included under other the information on the council rule change. So this was included. The council rule change was added with the revised agenda, which was properly posted here in this building and sent out to the judicial legislature.
Okay, I'm just asking questions. It's just no good deed goes unpunished, right?
Was a miscue with the revised agenda getting to the website, but it was posted in accordance with the required law in the appropriate public places.
Rules were.
Yep, the rules
were
followed.
This one has always been updated. These two ordinances have always been
updated. The only thing on the substitute, if I may, Mr. Chair, the only thing that makes this a substitute is it went from 12-month period to fiscal year. That's the only thing that made it a substitute. The 50 to 25 was always the ordinance as was introduced 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so this always was done 2 weeks ago. It was done correctly, you're saying. So even the substitute, okay, was put on the agenda, okay. I just wanted to know what these people were asking me, what's the hurry and so forth, and why was it under other and so forth. So I wanted it on the tape and in the newspaper and everything else.
But this is not listed under other.
No, right. No, they were asking me that.
No, but this isn't. Never has been listed under other.
Oh, I didn't say it was. No, okay. No. Look, like I said, I'm asking questions of my constituent, and somebody else called me up and asked, because they didn't see the revised agenda until today. It wasn't on the website is what they were. I asked somebody. They said it did get on this morning, because people read the newspaper and they couldn't find it on the website. That's all. So I just want to know the revised agendas. If it had to be revised, what the speedance of it was. So that's why I'm asking.
Any other comments, questions, members of council? Councilman Bell.
I guess once again, I heard that it's working. And I guess my question would be of our financial expertise in the various departments is it working the way it should currently? What problems has it caused under the past couple administrations? And I guess where I'm going is, if it's not broke, do we need to fix something that's not broke? And so quite frankly, I guess the question is, where are we? If there's things that we need to fine-tune that we're not adhering to, I can see that. But once again, I'm asking our experts. I mean, we get AAA bond ratings. We have excellent financial oversight. I think that this county stands among the best of the best in this country when it comes to financial oversight. So I'm concerned that we're looking to change some things that don't necessarily need to be changed. And so once again, I guess my question would be to our finance department, you know, and any other expertise in the department so you could answer, is there a problem with the way it's currently working? I mean, what do they see this, how do they see this improving? Because that's what we should be looking for, improvement.
All right, I want to give the opportunities for the department heads to maybe comment on this, and then we'll refer to Councilman Smiley because he has his hand up. So I would
go to finance, you know, how's it working today?
Well, what's the
and
impact?
How does this improve?
Okay.
Andrea Smith, purchasing. First, I'd like to just clarify a couple of things. All goods and services are currently bid at $25,000. What triggers a $50,000 bid is professional services. We currently come to council with anything that's over $50,000 that is not bid, which typically is a sole source item. We have the exemption for the books for the libraries. They come to council for review and resolution. And if anything else is not bid, then it comes to council. So $50,000 triggers for professional services as well as construction. Construction is $50,000 as well. So I just want to clarify that we're already bidding a lot of things that are $25,000. This is going to affect mainly the professional services, which a lot of times we give out to a small company to see how they do, or someone new to the area, we want to see how they make out in doing some engineering, so we give those small $25,000 to $50,000 contracts to them. So that's going to be where we're really going to have to monitor that. I think it says it's by vendor, so we're really going to have to keep an eye on that and again, you know, give a little more hands-on eyesight for that, as well as for community services when they make their book purchases, any increase now. I mean, they tie into one another, 106 and 107, because if they increase their books, they're going to have to come back into council again for another $10,000. So I just wanted to clarify that. But we, because the bid law is $50,000, that's why we send anything over $50,000. Goods and services are already bid at $25,000.
In your professional opinion, your day-to-day work, is it working today the way it's structured?
I feel it's working. I mean, we don't have any, we've actually been audited a couple of times to get this, Bob. Everything's very clean in our office, and we're very conscientious about what we do.
Thank you.
And again, we have no problem. If council has a question about something, we're more than happy to provide that information.
Thank you.
Councilman Smiley.
Once again, I'll just relate that I'd like to, if this is enacted, I'd like to report in 6 months, come back. Let's see if it's adversely affected. Let me clarify. Nobody said anything was broken. Nobody said it wasn't working right. That this increases council's ability and authority for additional review and oversight. And there's been a question about the smaller businesses, the owned businesses, what contracts they're getting. This will give us that further insight. And I'm just going to say, Councilman Bell, if we govern with the mindset of it isn't broke, don't fix it, we wouldn't be receiving the $50,000 contracts. We wouldn't have made changes in the way the budgets are presented to us. We would have basically sat still for the past 8 years or longer and not made changes. Nobody's saying it's broke. What I'm saying is I would like greater review of the fiscal items going on in this county. And I think that should be shared with all of council.
And Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Bell, yes.
In all due respect, Councilman, I guess the position I'm taking here is that we're going to place something in effect to evaluate for 6 months that we've been evaluating for the last 2 years and the last 4 years and the last 6 years that, from what I'm hearing, seems to be working pretty well. So I don't know, I guess from my perspective is, why do we need to implement something for 6 months to evaluate something that we're getting fairly decent reviews from in the way it stands and the way it works today, and that's where I'm coming from.
Councilman Smiley.
Thank you. You've made my point, Councilman Bell, and I do appreciate that. It has been working well. Since we're not changing the process and we're not changing the procedure, all we're doing is saying we want to review it at a lower threshold. I don't understand the problem either, other than it could be additional work. So you're right. It's been working. It's working smoothly. Nothing in here is to change the process, just the amount of information that council is going to be giving. And all that's doing is changing the dollar amount. So
I thought you were doing that all along.
Not at $25,000.
No.
And when we came in, we weren't even getting it at $50,000.
Do we, any other comments, questions from members of council? All right, so we're reducing the approval of contracts by council from $50,000 to $25,000 for this ordinance. Okay, everybody's clear about that. All contracts, correct? All contracts.
We are if it's approved, correct?
If it's approved, correct.
Correct.
If it's approved. Absolutely. As you well know, 7 votes to approve.
Just one,
Councilman Sheldon.
I'm sorry. It's a special services. It's just that's the hang up I got, I guess. Because professionals, the way they bid out, they don't really bid it out. They have like a best value system, right? You have the scoring points. You know, 10 for experience, 10 for this, 20 for that. You get all those different things. It's just the bidding out of some of these sewer jobs. I'm having a problem in Sherwood Park 1 now. It's a he said, she said thing. I agree with special services, by the way, how they're handling this, that the problem I'm having. But it's going to come in, and it's over $25,000, and it's like an emergency type of deal because it's a lateral. You know, it's going into somebody's house. So that's, and it stops at somebody's house, and they're fighting over that. Anyway, long story short, I know it's over $25,000. And I don't know what to tell this person. We can't fix it. That's the thing about special services. I agree with this professional because you do the, you know, the 10% here, 10, you know, whatever. That can take a little bit more time. I'm just worried about special services.
Could we ask people in special services to react to that scenario? If I could, please.
Mayor, Acting General Manager of Special Services. It's my understanding that there will be a notification, but for emergencies proceed as normal with notification that we're moving forward. So,
okay.
It's my understanding it does not stop us in 5 business days. The notification has to be made to council.
So in this case, I don't even know if you know, but it's If something's not being flushed out to the road right now, the lady can't, has no water, has nothing. She would have to wait 5 days?
No. Now, as an emergency, we would be able to take immediate actions.
Okay.
With the small contractor on site, but we would have 5 days to notify council.
Just the opposite of what I was thinking.
Currently, it's on the council. Any emergencies that are declared that week are on the bottom of the report.
Okay.
And it states the location, who was awarded, the amount.
All right, that's, you know, I'm dealing with a problem now. I just, you got to leave.
Councilman Smiley, do you want to say anything? I believe our council, Carol Doolin, had her hand in the air. If you'd like to comment.
Carol Doolin, council to council. The current code provides that contracts issued on an emergency basis are exempt from this procedure. Where, in the opinion of the executive, CAO, or county agency, immediate action is necessary for protection of the public health, safety, or property. There is additional language in here in Council Member Smiley's ordinance that says, in which event county council shall be notified within 5 business days of the emergency contract award.
That's what she just said. Okay.
Okay. Any other comments by members of council? Any other concerns? Any comments from members of the public in the room regarding ordinance substitute number 1-12-107 to reduce council approval of contracts from $50,000 to $25,000. Okay, moving along. Ordinance number 12-108, amend the annual FY 2013 operating budget, realign FY 2013 appropriation Department of Special Services by $245,106 to reflect the proper level of funding for the Division of Fleet. I'll handle that. And I'll refer a lifeline to the department. Mike Swaby.
Good afternoon, Mike Swaby, Special Services. What we're doing here is kind of shifting funding from one pocket to another to enable it to be allocated under contractual services. Last spring, we advertised a requirement for logistics management of the fleet parts room. We found it to be a successful operation thus far. We're about 3 months into the actual operation of it. However, all in before, the money was not in the right place where it needs to be all in now. So we're simply shifting the funding over to contractual to enable payment for services rendered.
So this refers to the outsourcing of the parts division of fleet?
It does.
Okay. And we're realizing operational savings, and maybe you can comment on that aspect, the reason why we went and went forward with this initiative.
Some things that we saw up front were the more successful government fleet operations in the country made a move like this. We investigated it thoroughly, actually talked to a few of the contractors to find out what the lay of the land was. That enabled us to get best available information on writing a requirement. Ran the process since the month of July when the thing went active. We found on average, just on procurement of parts alone, we've been able to save about $15,000 a month on average, which amounts to about 11% of spending on parts. That level of savings may be a bit over optimistic for right now, because what we're doing is we're issuing the parts for use and deployment in the vehicles and equipment that we actually still own. But the ultimate savings will come because we have an arrangement with this contractor, this logistics contractor, that's based on consignment as opposed to purchased parts for inventory. The ultimate savings will be derived out of the difference between the cost of maintaining an inventory that we own versus the cost of buying a part when we need it and deploy it. And we expect that savings to be pretty much consistent with what we've seen so far, anywhere from, say, 5 to 10% just on the procurement alone.
And this contract, maybe you could describe what you're actually doing with realigning the funds.
Sure. there were actually three positions authorized to operate the parts room when we began this journey about a year ago. Two people in the positions, one vacancy. That vacancy had been vacant since probably about 15 months prior to that. In the process of investigating the idea of outsourcing the parts room, the senior person reached her eligibility for retirement, and through a choice of her own, retired in May. This operation actually began in July, so we had that position open. In addition to that, we had the vacant position open. We still had the third person in place. Well, after we went through the procurement process, began to negotiate with the apparent awardee, we realized that we would have to have a check and balance system in place. Such a system would have to be run by somebody with intimate knowledge of operating the parts room, intimate knowledge of parts procurement, who the supplier network was, where to get the best value, what it takes to deploy those parts to the actual techs and mechanics in the garage. And so we kept that person on, same title, same salary. That person is now the check and balance for everything the logistics vendor does. So what we're doing is we're taking salary and benefit savings from those two positions that were vacant, and we're shifting that over to contractual services, in addition to some equipment money that was made available as a result of procurements that were deferred due to technical issues. For instance, if we figured we were going to buy 40 new police vehicles July 1st, we've since been unable to do that in terms of picking what the next generation police vehicle is going to be. You all might remember about a year and a half ago or so, I stood up here and explained how the Crown Vic, the flagship police vehicle, is going to be discontinued. There's a number of candidates up for replacement of that vehicle, one of which is the next generation Ford vehicle, the Taurus. We have two pilot vehicles. We've had a lot of trouble getting the retrofit and the upfit of technology and equipment in those vehicles correct, even to this date. We are not at all prepared to move forward to procure the next generation of police vehicles. We know what the candidates are. We're still in the process of evaluating them. So that delay in decision-making, a wise one from the side of choosing the right police vehicle, has enabled us to free up some money and move it into contractual services to support this move.
And you're expecting to realize a savings of, what, 11% long-term?
Well, what we've realized so far, really, at this point, 3 months into it, is 11%, but that's just on the procurement of parts. Ultimately, when we look at the configuration of the way it was, labor and parts, against the configuration of where it is, contracted labor and parts purchased based on consignment, we do believe there's going to be a savings. A little early to say how much that's going to be at this point, but between performance measures and close oversight, we're encouraged by what we've seen so far.
Okay, thank you. Unless we have any other questions. Yes, Councilman Redding.
Thank you. Mike, on the parts, the contract that you have with this outside vendor, how long is it?
It's a two-year contract with three single one-year options for extension. As it is right now, the basic portion of the contract will be up June 30th, 2014.
Okay, with that contracts that you have, is there a freeze on the price or, you know, on the parts, or is that is there an increase on them?
One of the benefits of doing this is, you know, when the county purchased their own parts, in addition to having to buy them for inventory and having the cost of them being on the shelf, we had to advertise to vendors, and once we had a contract with them, it doesn't matter if we could find something one-third the price down the street, we couldn't really buy it if we had a contractual arrangement. When you engage in a service, professional service contract with the firm that we have, Management Consultants, Inc., it enables them to go out and continually get the best value. They can go anywhere they want to get the parts that we need. We've never, either before or now, operated on the fact that an oil filter is $3 under contract and it's not going to go up or down. It's always the market price. But the advantage that we have with Management Consulting is they've agreed to sell us the parts for cost. We've agreed to share the documents and invoices. We know exactly what they're paying. So it's up to us to oversight the performance measures to make sure they're getting best value.
Any other questions, members of council? Any other questions from the audience, staff? Okay, moving on to the next ordinance, Ordinance 12-109. This ordinance is the companion ordinance to Resolution 12-161, which actually authorizes the funding for the, actually appropriates the funding for the 2100 South Rehabilitation Phase 1 project, which is, council is now aware, is basically the finalized repaving for all the sewer streets were disturbed because of sewer work in Brandywine 100 in that project. All right, resolution 12-110, Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, as you can see, this legislation is for to appropriate an additional $300,000 for the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 3. This money will need to be spent quickly because basically we have to spend it by March 6, 2013. As with other NSP programs, you know, the money will be used both for the purchase of vacant homes and also for down payments for those homes. So, Mr. Henry, anything else that we need to know?
Marcus Henry, Acting General Manager of Community Services. This program is a very, very big success for Newcastle County. I say that because the state keeps giving us these funds. This is on top of the $1.45 million we've gotten earlier this year for this program. So with the $1.75, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing right now. We're very proud to do that. And I have to thank Carrie and her staff for the tremendous work we've done over the last couple of years. And thank you to council.
I'd like to recognize that Councilman Tackett has joined us, and he has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Acting Manager Henry or Carrie? Are we going to just continue where we've already been, just expanding what we've already done in the models that you presented, or will this allow us to and actually enhance that program or maybe branch it out in further areas?
Carrie Casey, Community Department of Community Services. We really, basically, the state is under a very tight deadline to spend these funds by March 6, 2013. We are going to be doing the same model, which is the two-tier kind of layered stabilization efforts where we go out and find the most blighted house in the neighborhood, and then we also are trying to incentivize home buyers to buy vacant properties. We really, with the money that we received, it's going to be 1.7. We can't really create a brand new program. But the good news is that NSP 3 is allowing us to go into some different areas. Brookside, for example, is a new area for us. So we're with NSP 1, NSP 2, and NSP 3, which we all have going at the same time. We're going to be able to do. We're basically able to do our work in more areas of the county. But we're not going to, because of the timeline, we can't. We're not going to be able to create a new program. And the state is basically giving us this money to really do what we do, get the units that they need, and get the money spent so they don't have to return any unused funds to HUD.
Right. And did I understand that the money that we were providing for the homeowners, or the incentive to purchase these vacant homes that have been sitting there, that expended? We didn't have any more of that money, or?
Oh, no, sir. Carrie Casey, this money and the money that we're receiving for to appropriate in NSP 2, which we're going to talk about in a minute, lets us continue VAP, but just in more, we call it VAP, excuse me, the Vacant Home Buyer Assistance Program. It allows us to do that program, but just in more areas of the county. NSP 3 allows us to go into Brookside. We've already talked about possibly doing some outreach to houses that we know are vacant already in there for sale, saying, hey, do you know this program's available? So we are actually putting a lot of resources into that program because we were able to do 90 loans in a year, mm-hmm. which for us, when you're also doing 60 plus vacant and foreclosures in the same neighborhoods, you're able to do 150 houses instead of, you know, what our original thought was 60. So we definitely are keeping that program going. If you recall, last year we made it a deferred loan. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a forgivable loan because we hope to revolve the funds and keep this program going for a while.
Right. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of council? I'd just like to make a comment and just to underscore what the general manager said. These funds, which come from HUD through the Delaware State Housing Authority, they're granted to us from DSHA because they recognize we put the money in the communities, we go after the projects, we get the job done. So it's a credit to the department and this county that we're continuously getting these limited funds, and it reflects the confidence that DSHA has in us and HUD as well. So compliments to community services on that, and of course the county as a whole should take credit for that as well. Any other questions on this ordinance? Okay, moving on to the next one, 12-111. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to sanction the comments that you made because I really feel that our people are doing an outstanding job, and this is just evidence of that. They should be complimented for that. This would also appropriate $1 million of anticipated program income to NSP 2. So as Carrie said, these programs are running simultaneously. And this is another $1 million that's coming into our coffers to make certain that that program continues.
Okay. Any questions from members of council on this ordinance 12-111? Okay, moving along. Ordinance 12-105, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ordinance 12-105 will be withdrawn this evening from the ordinances. And let me just preface that with saying that I still to this day believe that this council at some point needs to work on legislation for future lame duck sessions of administrations. This is not a new problem to this county. It is not solely to one party or the other, or one candidate to the other. I think one administration to the other. But this is a situation that I believe will continue in the future. It's something that I think we need to address. There were certain legal questions that came from the law department as to whether it was discrimination, and still to this day, no one's provided anything to me saying how it discriminates against anyone. I think that when folks accept positions and appointed positions, they know what the parameters are, they know that they serve at the pleasure, they know also as jobs become open, they can certainly apply as any other county employee or any other person from the outside can apply. But when we get into the lame session.
Excuse me.
That's when I think we inherit frustrations and problems, both on the part of our current merit system and current employees, as well as political appointees. And this was not, remains not directed towards any appointee by name, nor is it by any administration. I just think it's something that we do need to come back and revisit at some point in time in the future and look at its legality, put something in effect that we can protect the liability of the county, but also protect the our hiring system and our merit system. So.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Smiley.
Councilman Bell, should you decide you want to move forward and work on this, I'd be more than happy to partner with you. I think one of the first questions of me would have to be answered would have to be define a lame duck, that we need to get define a lame duck session, because if county executive can only serve two terms, then technically the last entire 4 years would be lame duck. So we would definitely have to take a close look as to how to do that without denying the right of county employees during that period of time to shift and move around. But if you care to take the lead in looking at something like this, I'd be more than happy to work with you.
Yeah. I'd be more than glad to work on this in the future. And I think that lame duck could also, as just off the top of my head, could be kind of identified as a certain period in time as part of an administration. Should it be the whole 4 years, or should it be that when you get to a certain point of the electoral and everything, at what point do they truly become lame duck and prevent any type of potential mischief or potential conflict and everything? So I'd be more than willing to continue working on this in the future. I think it's something that we need to work further on, and we will be coming back with it. Thank you, Councilman.
Okay. All right. One last. Any other questions, comments from members of council? I'd like to recognize council waving your hand in the air and wants to comment. Back in the back of the room here. From my point of view, it's the back of the room.
Carol Dillon, Council. Just for clarification, this particular ordinance, which Council Member Bell refers to, states as to lame duck, it means the time that an elected county executive remains in office after an election in which the executive is defeated from holding office and the inauguration of a successor, and the period between a primary and a general election when the executive has chosen not to run or is ineligible to run for another term.
Thank you.
It's there.
Okay. Any other questions? We're withdrawing this tonight.
Yes.
And moving on to next ordinance. Any other questions, comments on the 12111? Ordinance 12-112. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This also will be withdrawn as an ordinance this evening. And this particular second ordinance came about because I took what our county attorney at the time was saying as far as the potential of discrimination and the liability of the county. So what we did at that point in time was to try to put something in place that would prevent positions being filled without a lame duck administration, legalities and everything. So that this was my backup ordinance, and I'll be withdrawing it also.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Members of council. Moving along. Item J, K, and L, we have none. Under other, moving along to other, we have a proposed change to council rules. Councilman Smiley.
And I apologize, everyone. Perhaps it's a matter of semantics. I just want to clarify, at least for me, it's not a rule change. If you go and look through the rule book to try to see what's proposed to be changed, there's nothing. All I'm looking at doing is memorializing in our rules, as we have other things in the past where we've realized that we're doing things a certain way, it's working and it's not in the rule books. Since we went with the co-chair system, when council expanded, this is what has been taking place. Just looking at memorializing it in the rules, without, while maintaining the latitude that we currently have. So I just briefly, I will read it. It would be a new 3.1.4. Says legislation being requested and submitted by a county department, office, board, agency, or commission, and not at the request of a specific council person or persons, shall list the most senior co-chair of the hearing committee as the primary sponsor. Most senior being the individual council member who's been a member of that committee the longest, unless otherwise requested by the co-chairs of the designated committee. So it maintains the flexibility where co-chairs decide, I don't want to sponsor, you sponsor, or as we do now, we move around amongst ourselves. You know, that remains, as well as if I go and work on something with land use, such as, let's turn back the hands of time, boats and RVs, that would still come under my sponsorship. So all I'm doing is saying, hey, it's what we've been doing. We'll also make it clear with a new administration, with their new department heads coming over, as to what goes where, what it should be. So that's all we're looking, that's all it is. That's all I'm looking at.
Any questions or comments from members of council? Councilwoman Dillard and Councilman Street.
I'd just like to say I have no problem with my incredibly senior colleague, Councilman Hollins, being listed first.
Councilman Street.
Earlier you said old. Oh, maybe that was me. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, you know, how we proceed from here and how we choose to govern, handle this county's business going forward, as I always say, is up to the will of council. But I'm a little bit frustrated at the entire discussion we've had today, because I get up and I look at what's in the public press, and there's a reason in the public press for certain legislation being put forward. Then I sit here at this table and there's another reason for the legislation being put forward. I think we have a responsibility to be completely forthcoming in our discussion. And if it's one reason in the public press and another reason at this table, then something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong. And it goes to our credibility as a council, and as the government, and those of us who say we want to stand for good government and do the right thing. Well, it either is or it isn't the reason. So that's my concern, that's my frustration, and how we end up voting on this and how we choose to go forward in interacting or not interacting with the new administration remains to be seen. But I think we have a responsibility to be completely forthcoming about our purpose and intention of whatever's on this table.
Okay. Councilman Smiley.
Councilman Street, I feel prompted to respond since I'm bringing this rule change. I'm bringing the two ordinances. And my comments today, yesterday, months ago when I started working on this legislation, is consistent what I've said here today. Now, if there's and I've tried to stay on top of all the rhetoric been being put in the paper, but if there's an article out there that has me saying something different than what I have been saying, I'd really like to see it, because I am the one moving these forward. I am the sponsor. Other people have commented, other people have stated their feelings, but they're not the ones that are sponsoring this legislation. Now let's clear the air. Like I told the reporter, I could have brought this forward earlier. It was ready. I did not want it to become a political football. It was introduced. It's coming forward now. The current county exec can sign it, not sign it, whatever he wants. I went to the swearing in this morning. Sat there in a private conversation with the county executive for about 15, 20 minutes. He never raised the issue of this one piece of this legislation whatsoever. But it's not about him. It was never about him. And if we're going to be honest and speak forward,
in 2004. He sent his people to intimidate me. He sent his people to run against me. I won that election. I'm sitting here. My table, my conscience is clean. I got my payback at the ballot booth three times since. So this has nothing to do with him. If Mr. Blake had won, it would still be here today, regardless of who it is. It's good government. That's what it is. And I've not presented it to the council attorney or anyone else any differently. How others feel, every day, every piece of legislation, every council member has their own reason for voting the way they do. And I respect their right. But my reasons for bringing it forward have been out there, and they remain consistent.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Obviously, when I first read this, if I wanted to be real paranoid, I would think that it was about me, because I've had several pieces of legislation that came over to me that probably should have gone to the committee chairs, and those committee chairs, most rightfully so, have said publicly that it shouldn't have gone to me. The most recent one was Centerville Point, which was an old enough plan that when the department went and looked it up, it was the third district. That's because it was the third district before we were split and had 13 members. It was never in this realm mine. It should have gone to Councilman Sheldon. It came to me because the plan said three. So I bring it to the floor, realize it's on the other side of the street. It really should be his. He says, oh, go ahead and run it because it's not controversial at all. It's just a dumb little name that has to be approved. Thank you very much.
You fall into that.
And the co-chairs of land use questioned why I had it and why they didn't. So I think it's something that has been in practice. I think we're now putting it on the books, so that anybody coming forth says, okay, if I went and worked with them on that name change, then I get to run it. But if it's coming over as pro forma, part of the process, it goes to the chairs.
And I'm glad you're bringing that up, but I'll let Councilman Hollins make a question, and I have my own question. Go ahead.
Well, just a comment of support, honestly. First, let me thank my co-chair, Councilwoman Diller, for appreciating my incredible seniority.
Not a problem.
But I don't think it's transferable, so it's only applies to
well, you get more vacation.
Community services. But I think we need to have some degree of consistency when the legislation is coming up. We have experienced some problems, as Councilwoman Kilpatrick has alluded to. Even with the PAL Center, that was an issue. Should it go to the people who represent the PAL Centers, or should it come to community services? And I've even had the experience to realize a time when legislation was assigned to favorite members of council and not assigned to unfavorable members of council. So I think council needs to set its rules, and the rules need to be consistent. I think we've tried to do that, but we still had some issues. And I think it would help the new administration, whoever that administration may be, to determine how this legislation comes over, because we still have these problems today, even though we try very hard to have a consistent rule regarding this. It's still not working, and maybe memorializing it would help to make it work for us. I don't see it as being punitive to anybody. I think it's just us, a housekeeping piece of legislation that we're helping us to govern better without the confusion.
Okay, any other questions for members of council on this proposed rule change? Yes. And just one point, we're going to propose to vote on this around the table right now.
It's been distributed.
Councilman Sheldon.
The question I have, I guess, when we did the responsible contracting, we put the affirmative action part into it, for equal opportunities, was the word. It wasn't affirmative action, it was equal opportunity. I personally went, at the time, it was County Exec Coons was in there. And they actually worked with me, and we worked back and forth. Well, John, you know that. I mean, I'm telling you, John also worked with me on that. How were this different there? Because that is the problem that I would have. If I have something that I have to work with, that I'm sponsoring, would this be any change that, okay, said it's not a special services thing, it's a land use or something kind of issue.
an independent initiative that you're trying
to do. From what I'm trying to do away from special services at the moment, if I'm even on special services.
It says, and not at the request of a specific council person or person. So if it's your issue, you're working on it. Doesn't matter what department it's in.
Okay.
It's yours.
And I'm able to go across the hall, as you would say.
What we do
now.
Trying to
disability. Like,
doesn't change what we do now. Nothing changes.
I think for the record, the point of clarification that's being asked, can a council member independently, working on an issue, sponsor an ordinance of particular interest that does not come across from the administration? And in fact, this is allowed under this rule change.
What we do now.
It's protected by state code.
Okay, I just want to make that, look, I'm asking maybe questions, but I just want to make doubly sure when this comes out on the floor and so forth.
Councilman Bell.
Just as a comment, point of interest. I know that one point or another, maybe a council person has run into a problem where maybe their name didn't appear where it should, but I, for one, have not had any issue with the past administrations, nor do I foresee any problem with the future administration. Kristen's here today. I think that there were absolutely numerous times exchange of emails. Are you willing to sponsor this? This is falling under public safety, whatever. Councilman Street, Councilman Bell. You know, we have one that just came through for a loan for Holloway Terrace Fire Company. And the changing of the guard is that Councilman Street is the primary councilman for that district now. And so the first thing that we said is, it's fine as long as Councilman Street is in the number one position on that ordinance. You know, and I'll continue to support and work with him as far as public safety. But if there were any burps along the way, I think they were minor. But I think that the administration that is currently going out of office has done a very fine job in communicating with us, past administration. I don't really see where this is a big issue.
Councilman Smiley.
Again, nobody's saying it's a big issue. Again, it's another thing that we do. We're putting it in our rules. I don't care about the administration. This is us. This is what we're saying. And I don't see why the administration should care. Past, present, future, whatever. This is us. This is our rule. This is guidance for ourselves as well as the departments. With that, with your leisure, I would like to ask council to clarify a little bit on the land use plans process. This doesn't change that either.
Carol Dolan, council to council. Council Rule 3 currently provides that land use legislation is provided to the council member in whose district the resolution pertains. There also is a separate section that pay plan amendments pursuant to state law must go to the president. So these will remain in Rule 3.
Yeah. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Even in my paranoia, I don't think that we really have a problem with what's going on. But I do think that as a council, that we have a responsibility to make sure that our process is written down. I think that that goes to transparency, that the public knows how the process is supposed to work. So in the end, nobody can say, oh, wait a minute, how come he got it? How come she got it? This is the process. This is the way it works. This is in writing. I think that we, for us and for anybody that follows us, not that they can't change it, but I think that every process that we have should be written down so that there's no questioning it in the end.
We'll take it. Councilman Hollins.
I think Councilman Kilpatrick covered some of my concerns or my comments, but back to Councilman Bell's point, that still happens, the relationship between Councilman Bell and Councilman Street. Nothing prohibits another council person from saying, well, you take this, you did that. It's an example today when Councilwoman Dilla says, well, which one do you want to manage floor? It doesn't matter. Just give me one. We're not fighting over any of this. It's just a matter that it should be consistency, and everyone should know it, and I think it avoids the potential for anyone trying to manipulate our process. It's our process. It's in the rules. No one, if they have a desire to manipulate it, then this says it cannot be done. Simple as that. I don't see the big debate about it, quite honestly.
Any other questions? Councilman Street.
I want to be clear. I could care less. Okay? And if, you know, however the administration wants to get legislation sponsored, get it through, so forth and so on, you know, my concern is, again, same one thing here, and the articles in the newspaper are saying something completely different. And I guess, and I'll leave it alone, because to me, it's just setting a bad tone and tenor for a combative relationship with the new administration that I hope doesn't end up being counterproductive. 4 years ago, I made a comment right around election time, I don't know if it was before, during, or after, that I thought we had made great progress as a council, that we had learned to disagree without being disagreeable, and I thought we were moving forward and making great progress. And, you know, I guess the train of thought and the training I got in the 70s as a student advocate, in my mind, is applicable here. And that is, when you're doing this work, at the time as a student advocate, never, ever make an enemy until you have at least tried to make a friend. And we've got a lot of major issues, and a lot of issues that are going to cost a whole lot more than $25,000. Okay, we got a murder last night. If you look at the reports coming in from the police agencies, we got shootings all over the county. City's catching hell in the public press. But if you look at it, we've got just as many shootings, maybe not as many homicides. So we've got major public safety issues that need to be addressed. We've got some fiscal challenges that need to be addressed. And I just don't want to get caught up in a whole lot of unnecessary, hyper-technical foolishness that is the only purpose that serves is confrontation. And if I'm going to be confrontational, I don't think there's anybody at the table any more confrontational than me, but in my view, in my very biased opinion by myself, it's confrontation for purpose. I don't see the purpose of a whole lot of what's on this agenda tonight.
Councilman Smiley?
I'm going to repeat, just for the record, that my reasoning for the legislation and rule codification has not changed from day one. I don't look at any of this as retaliatory. I don't look at it as confrontational. But if we're going to talk about confrontation, ain't no member of this 13-member body listed on that newspaper outside that article that says they're going to push their agenda through this council. So I'm not looking for confrontation, but it'll be a cold day in hell where my family is before I run from it.
Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I agree wholeheartedly with Councilman Street. I read articles just like everybody else reads articles, and even with a few inadequacies here and there, I think when I read about fear, and the last sentence of the thing was how the vote was all going to end up and how close it was going to be, and could go either way, and end the word fear. Well, let me set for this record that I don't fear anything or anybody when I'm representing the best interest of the people that sent me here, the 12th District. So there is no fear when it comes to speaking my piece, representing the good of the people. And I have to agree wholeheartedly with Councilman Street today, whether we like it or whether we don't. I think the folks have spoken throughout the county. We have a new administration to work with, and I'd like to see us the same as Jay's saying, is to try to start out on the right foot and work closely together. My opinion.
Okay, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just fast, briefly, a couple comments. This is the process where we are the legislative body. Anybody is free to bring legislation forward here. We consider it. We voted up. We voted down. I don't have a problem with this piece of legislation. It's fine. I have a problem with a bunch of potential knee-jerk reaction with legislation. I'm not saying this is it. I'm not saying we're looking at it tonight. We have looked at it. But I'm just saying if I see a whole bunch of that, I will have a problem with that.
Councilman Hollins, my second.
I think we're sort of second-guessing each other's intent here. I don't think that any of this is necessary. I mean, I've read newspaper articles that misquote me, misinterpret my intentions. I mean, why suddenly this is a major piece here when we ourselves reached up about us or said about us, and it misrepresents what we feel, what we've said. How did that get to be a contentious kind of a part of this debate about legislation? You voted up, you voted down, you state your reason why either way. But what's good for one council person may not be the best thing for 12 others, and vice versa. This is how this works. But to just try to second guess where somebody's coming from, to me, I just don't think it's appropriate, because we can do this all day long on every piece of legislation.
I think if there's any more comments from members of council, I'd be glad to hear them. I just want to make one comment myself. Every member of council has a right to bring forward a piece of legislation, and our process is such that nothing gets put in a drawer, nothing gets hidden from the public. We sit here around this table and we offer our best opinions and our best reasoning on any given piece of legislation regarding its merits. And I'm glad and proud of that fact, and I'm glad and proud of this council and people, you know, making the arguments you're making, because that's what the legislative process is in the county government. And that's my concluding remark, and I'm want to always encourage members of council to voice their minds on any issue at the table here. With that, I don't know if we have any other comments. Councilman Smiley?
No, I'd like to ask for either roll call or show of hands on a vote on the rule inclusion into the rules, but it's not a change.
We have a member requesting a roll call or a show of hands. Public comment on the proposed rule change, council rule change on the table. Okay.
Motion for a vote.
Motion for a vote on the proposed change to council rules that we just debated.
It's not a change.
Inclusion.
Excuse me, I stand corrected. All those in favor of the inclusion we have just reviewed, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Nay also. We're not voting. Not voting.
The proposed change or inclusion to council rules passes.
I meant to say not voting.
All right, moving along on our agenda, Newcastle County Council grant requests. This program remains an important public service that we render in the county, and we have grant requests starting with the
point of order.
I'm here.
Kickstarter.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry, Councilman Powers has joined us at the table. Thank you. Thank you for calling my attention, and I apologize. Newcastle County Division of Police. This is a council member Smiley.
Yeah. Let me drop the culture shock. Let me clarify.
I'm stunned.
Let me clarify. I have taken the position and maintain it that I will not exercise my right to extend grants. So I'm going to clarify that on the record that I continue to not extend grants outside of county government. All right, that's my little codicil. I'll explain what happened here. Had a community who contacted me concerning wanting community watch signs because their community watch signs had been stolen. So I contacted the Newcastle County Police and was advised that years ago they had gotten a federal grant, and that's what they had purchased all the signs with. And they had been used up. They had one sign left. And what they advised me was they were searching for grant money in order to obtain more signs. So I could have done what I did in the past and moved to suspend the rules to allow me to transfer $2,500 to the police department, which I believe probably would have passed. However, I advised them to submit a grant because, not that it would, but I wanted the public and myself and the rest of the council to be able to track the $2,500 that's going into the public safety budget, that it's specified for a specific issue only, and that's what it's for. And these are not, someone made a comment earlier on, these are not for the 7th district. All right, they're for all 12 districts. So that's the purpose behind the $2,500 grant. And just let me say, I appreciate how all the other council members feel, but I'm not asking for anyone else to contribute funds to this. You give your grants outside. I respect your right to do that. I want to keep mine in the county, so I'm not looking for any support on this. You vote for it, then it's council sending it forward to the Newcastle County Police Department. So that's the reasoning behind it. That's its purpose.
Want to put it in the form of a motion?
I request a motion to approve a $2,500 grant to the Newcastle County Police Department for the purchase, for the purpose of purchasing community block watch signage for the communities in Newcastle County.
All those in favor?
We need a second.
Oh, second, excuse me.
Second?
I'll second it. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting. No, I voted in that one.
Jeez.
All right. Thank you.
Next, Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is $1,000 requested for our Bernie's Education School Aid Center. The center does a lot of work with youngsters from daycare all the way through actually high school. So my motion is for $1,000 for Bernie's Education School Aid Center.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay. The grant to the Bernice Educational School Aid Center Incorporated is approved, as well as the grant to the Newcastle County Board of Regional Police. Okay, Wilmington JC's Christmas Parade. Another one by Councilman Smiley.
check the clarification.
Councilman Hall, did you have something to say about that?
Well, I will, because
I'll let you speak Councilman first, because it does say I'm as co-chair of finance. That's
Councilman Smiley really got caught in a difficult place, simply because when the grant request went to President Kovac, he refused to take action, similar to what he did with the senior center.
Yeah.
He held it for I don't know how long. It's dated for September 5th. And then last week or so, he had it sent to my office, to my aide, for me to handle it, which I refused to do. And I had my aide get in touch with him to say, I'm pretty much fed up with his nonsense, simply because the race to the top request for a letter from council, he tried to deny that. He tried to hold it up. He finally sent the letter. Then more recently, with the letter that was requested to go to the federal legislators to support the council's position, he refused to sign it altogether. After council had requested it and he agreed to do it, he did not. The letter was crafted. He refused to sign it.
Yes.
I signed it. When this happened, I was pretty much fed up with his behavior. But I do support the JCs, and I will support this grant. I just don't like the games that were being played by the president. That's how it ended up with Councilman Smiley bringing it forward here today.
Okay. Good explanation. Would like to put in a formal motion?
I will not be contributing or voting.
Who would like to make a motion?
Needed to get on the table.
I think council members are familiar with the JC parade, the Christmas parade, and we have a float. The county exec's office already has contributed their whatever amount it was, and this is council's share of it that's been requested. I would make the motion for $1,000 if council is interested in being on the Christmas float and the Christmas parade sponsored by the JCs.
Second? Anybody second?
I'll second if we have.
We need a second for discussion.
Okay.
All right, second and discussion.
Obviously, if this is a council float, I don't feel that it's appropriate that it all comes out of your funding. So I would be willing to share something with you, and if anybody else is, then we can divide it up. But I don't feel that any one council person should have to deplete their budget.
And I agree.
That's so general.
And I agree with you. Thanks for reading.
So again, George will be giving $1,000.
Yes.
Actually, I will not be contributing or voting, but I will be pulling the street.
Didn't we have money that was designated that could be used for tickets.
No, we don't have it anymore.
Okay, well, I got work to do.
But to Councilwoman Kilpatrick's point, I will contribute $250. That's.
I would like to offer a matching grant of $250 out of my grant fund to the Wilmington Christmas Parade.
I'll do $250. So you should have.
Councilman Street.
$250.
$250.
Are you doing?
We're $1,250. That's
what.
Okay, so we're $250 over. So I will take $250 into my account. Never mind.
Well, we can divide it down into two.
Yeah,
200,
yeah. Just two.
Five of us.
Yeah.
200 for.
That makes
all
sense.
Right. 200 for each member. Yes. 200. Councilman Street. So we have a motion with a second. We've agreed on in amounts. All those in favor of approving a grant, council grant to Wilmington JC's Christmas Parade, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay. Next, Delaware chapter of the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Delaware chapter of the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives is noble. The Delaware chapter, of which several of the various administrative leaders here in Newcastle County belong to, is one of 58 local chapters nationwide. And they serve as a professional voice within law enforcement. They work with the black law enforcement executive community. There's a local and national conferences held each year. This particular organization is hosting its second annual Adopt a Family Initiative for Thanksgiving holiday. With this $1,000, it will go towards other donations that they've received for non-perishable food items, turkeys, hams, chicken roasters, to complete food baskets for needy families, and the members of Noble deliver these baskets throughout Newcastle County. So I'm proposing a $1,000 grant to Noble.
Second.
This motion is second. Discussion, Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Councilman Bell if we could go 500-500 because co-chairs probably take the exception.
Absolutely.
$500 matching, Councilman Bell's from Councilman Street. We have a motion, second. We have a discussion. We've led discussion. All those in favor for the grant for the D chapter of the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay. The grant is approved. All right. Moving under. Anything else under? Expense and Revenue Roundtable. Anybody have anything for the good of the order of Expense and Revenue Roundtable? Anybody? What else is left under other? And so I have one thing I'd like to bring up under other. I recall last year that our union associated with the Special Services Department, Local 459, had a needy family fun drive. It was something that kind of came on my radar screen rather late. I don't know if council would like to engage in helping that effort in any way. I just want to put that out on the table since this has been an ongoing effort by our local 459A needy families in the area. I don't know if members of council are aware of that initiative or would like to be supportive of that. I know that I think he's still the president, Dan Tharby. I'd like to be supportive of that, and I just want to put that on the table for members of council to comment.
I'll just say supporting it. They run various fundraisers and raffles to raise money for that. I've been supporting them for a year or so since they've started, since I've been here. So they're always continuing. And if I can, under other, on a sad note. Unfortunately, because of the economy and everything else this year, the Basket Brigade of Delaware, which I've supported for many years, won't be operating this year. So there'll be another couple of hundred or so families that will not have an avenue to get a food basket this year.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is concluded.
Hey. That was easy.
Yes, it was. So,
Major.
Not right now.
Hello there, young lady.
I'm not going to lose that until we find out who this guy is.
Hey, is this Sam?
Not that I heard. I put two and two together real quick. I thought it was weird.
I always take a good one.
Well.
I have that check in the car.